Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, so as the Olympics winds down, we're going to go live to Paris again now to talk to Jessie Barr. Now, you will have seen and heard Jessie on RTE as an athletics analyst, and she is, of course, a former Olympian herself. But she is also the sports performance psychologist to key members of Team Ireland. Hi, Jessie. Welcome.
Hiya, Brendan. Thanks for having me.
Jessie, I want to talk to you a bit about the athletes, I suppose, and what they do now and how they feel tomorrow morning and the day after. But can I ask you first, Jessie, there's all kinds of books all the time about what we can learn from studying winners and studying champions. So what are the big things the rest of us can learn from the likes of Rashida, Kelly, Reese and the women last night and all of them?
Yeah, look, I mean, where do I start? My voice is a little bit croaky from screaming those girls around the track. I spent the 2 days screaming. I spent the 2 days screaming down the track at Rashida and at the girls, thinking maybe my voice would be the one that will carry them over the line, but sadly not.
Look, are they better than the rest of us? Is there a superhuman aspect to them that the rest of us just could never have?
Look, can every single person go to the Olympics? No, unfortunately. But are athletes better than anybody else? No. But they are better at something. They're better at the sport that they go to the Olympics for. They're experts in their field at one really specific thing, and that's why they're all here. I mean, if everyone was the same, we'd all be at the Olympics. But look, I suppose, what can you learn? Yeah, no, I was an athlete myself, and the idea of calling athletes superhuman, I think, is wrong, because I think there is something to be learned from athletes, and it's resilience, it's hard work. I mean, these girls who've just come forth, this is not the first disappointment for a lot of those girls on that relay team. It won't be, you know, for those who've had success, it wasn't the first success, it won't be the last. For disappointments, it won't be the last. And I think maybe what sets them apart is the pursuit of sport is a more of a cruel journey than it is a successful one. You know, we see the glories, we see the moments on the track or in the pool or on the field. What you don't see is the disappointments that it kind of that paves that journey to it. And I think if there was any other discipline that you would spend more of your time being disappointed, frustrated, upset by what you're doing, you probably would have moved on. But for athletes, those little moments of glory on the track, those, you know, or on the field or on the pommel horse or whatever it is, that's what keeps them going. And I think that's, if you were to ask me what separates athletes and these elite athletes at the Olympics from the general population, it is that determined doggedness, that pursuit of something in spite, without actually knowing if it's ever going to happen. I think that's what it is. It's no guarantee that the success will come, but it's the dream, it's the belief, it's the hope, I think, is what sets them apart. I mean, if you went into work every day, Brendan, and knew that it was going to be a bad job every single day, but there's a chance it might be a good one, would you keep going at it? Probably not. Yeah, but that's essentially what sport is, in a grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I remember talking to a guy once, and he had played football, but not at a kind of, you know, top level or anything. But he'd been fairly serious about it in his own way. And I was saying something to him about his happiest memories or whatever. And he goes, sure, you don't remember the times you won. Like, you only remember the times you lost. They're the memories I have, you know.
Unfortunately,
God almighty, that's a thankless thing. So listen, can the rest of us learn resilience, or is it kind of something innate you're born with?
No, and that's a great question. It's absolutely something that can be learned. We're all born with a clean slate in terms of resilience, and we learn it through experience. We learn it through, you know, having those negative experiences, having those challenging moments, reflecting on them, taking lessons from them, taking stock and moving forward from them. That's what resilience is. And that's something that anybody can do. Athletes are kind of have to do it, because you're usually having to dust yourself off and go again to your next performance. But that's the same for the general public as well. We can all do that. You know, we learn from a disappointment. We learn from an underperformance, bad feedback, you know, learning from that. Why did it happen? What could I do better? How can I improve? And how can I be better the next time if this was to happen again? And I think that's what we can really learn, is all these guys, you know, we're already talking, we're on the last day of the games. We have our last athlete competing in Lara Gillespie on the track. And we're going to start talking about LA. You know, we're going to have the the closing ceremony this evening, and there will be that handover, and suddenly all focus will turn to LA. But what we'll be doing, and I'm very fortunate to be part of a big team of sports psychologists and life skills advisors in the Sport Ireland Institute. And our job is to help athletes debrief and really reflect on what they've done. You know, what have we done now? What are we going to learn from it? You know, you might be hurt by this. How can we take something positive from this and make you a better person? How is this going to add some more shields to your armor?
Okay, and then regroup and refocus and move on. Yeah. And we come on to that. I want to ask you one more thing about the minds of champions and everything.
Yeah.
Is discipline to an almost obsessive level at the heart of that as well? And is that what, I know talent sets people apart, obviously, but is it, you mentioned hard work earlier, is it a very, very high level of discipline that most of us don't probably pursue?
Yeah, look, to be an athlete at this level, you obviously have to be very, very disciplined. Your work ethic with all of these athletes is at a hugely high level, but it is something we can all take from that. But, you know, what is underlying this discipline is the love of the sport for most of these athletes, the love of the pursuit, the love of the process. And the outcome is a bonus that comes at the end of that. So I think that's what underlies the discipline, is the love of improving skills, improving their own performance, challenging themselves on a day-to-day in training. And then what we see in front of the cameras is the result of all that. And that's something we can all, again, take from athletes, is if we can learn to love the process and kind of take our focus away from the outcome at the end of it, find moments of joy in it, it makes it easier to be disciplined. You know, we kind of look at athletes and think, oh my goodness, they're so disciplined, they're so motivated, how do they do it? But a lot of them will say it's because they love it. You know, yeah, they love the process, they love what they do, and they find joy in that.
Yeah, so we think of discipline as punishment in a way, but if you find a way of not making it that. When you were at the elite athlete level, did it dictate your whole life, yeah?
Yeah, it really did. You know, it was my whole identity. And, you know, I reflect back now, Brendan, I realise it was quite a selfish pursuit. And I don't mean selfish in the negative way, but selfish in that you have to put yourself first all the time. You know, every decision that you make as an athlete has to be, how is this going to improve my performance? What I eat, what I, you know, what time I go to bed at, what I do during the day, how much time I spend on my feet, when I book my holidays. Everything has to be around, well, how can this affect training? How is that going to impact on my performance? And yeah, it is. There was a time where my whole life was completely centered around athletics. After I competed in London, I remember being at, like I mentioned, that transition from the London to the Rio, that handover. And I remember thinking, okay, these next 4 years are all about Rio, and when I'm in Rio, and every decision I made a move to go to the UK. I changed my direction in terms of college to make sure that everything fit in around my training. And that's what had to be done, you know. And unfortunately, Rio didn't happen for me, but I don't regret the decisions that I had to make, because if I didn't, I wasn't putting myself in the best position. And ask any athlete, every decision that they make will always, in the back of their head, it will be, how will this affect my performance? And, you know, you go back to what you asked about what separates athletes, it's probably that. It's having this all-consuming thing, this identifying part of your life that consumes every other decision. And I don't think there's not that many other areas that it would feel like that other than being an athlete.
Okay, Jessie Barr, thank you very much for that.